Welcome into the Farzi Show, everybody. A little bit different for the people on YouTube today and also the people on the podcast. For the people on the podcast, the people on YouTube are getting the same experience that you're getting right now. That's exciting. For whatever reason, our camera has decided not to work for the Farzi Show today. You know, no big deal, because it's not like the Phillies just went to the playoffs for the first time in 11 years, I said, or anything like that. So here we are. But yes, here we are. And rather than not do a show today, we are going to do a show today. Damn this camera and its wires that connect it. And you know what we're doing? We're going to have a conversation about the Phillies. We're going to have a conversation about the Eagles. And we're going to talk about everything. Because first of all, I just want to address this. Rob Thompson has done a phenomenal job with this Phillies ball club. An absolute phenomenal job. He took over a club that was 7 games under 500, took over a payroll that was vastly underachieving and not giving you value of what certainly you expect when you pay over the luxury tax. And you know what he did with that team? He took that team that was 22 and 29 and just like that, turned them into a 65 and 44 team. That is amazing, because that goes to show you that there was talent on this roster. It just wasn't being used properly. It wasn't being motivated properly. It wasn't allowed to grow together. But whatever he instilled in this clubhouse, oh man, did it work. And I remember when we had Garrett Stubbs on a few months ago, and he had talked about what Rob Thompson brought to this clubhouse. He talked about how he brought this attitude of bleep you, this bleep you mentality. Bleep you, why not us? Well, guess what? The Phillies are one of those teams that's going to be playing in the postseason. It's the first time we can say that in over a decade. And I was trying to put it in perspective, just trying to think about what it meant to me when the Phillies made the playoffs in 2007. You know, I was in the business, but still very much a fan. I'm still very much a fan now. But it had been a very long drought. And the Phillies in 1993, I was in fifth grade when they went to the World Series. I was in fifth grade when they made the playoffs. And I know that was, 14 years? This is 11. So it's not quite the same, but it's similar in that there are kids growing up that barely have memories of postseason baseball. There's an 11-year-old right now that is watching the Phillies spray champagne in their clubhouse for the first time ever in their little 11-year-old life. And I thought about it, like, how you got to cherish these moments, because you don't know when they're going to come around. And we'll let you hear from Rob Thompson. We'll let you hear from, you know, all parties involved. We'll let you hear from Reese Hoskins. It was so emotional for these players, and good for them to let that emotion out. Reese Hoskins is getting emotional. Aaron Nola, I swear, I'm not just making this up. You're going to think I'm going to make out. You think I'm making it up when I say it out loud. I'm not making it up. Aaron Nola smiled. Aaron Nola cracked a smile. I've never seen Aaron Nola smile. He smiled last night. He pitched a hell of a game. What matters more is that he pitched a hell of a game. Last night, he took a perfect game into the seventh inning. Not too shabby either. But the emotion, they so well deserve it. But I was thinking of the fans last night because, I mean, I went through fifth grade. Graduated eighth grade, graduated high school, graduated college. And all during that time, the Phillies never went back to the playoffs. 2 years out of college, they made it back to the playoffs. And I was thinking of other people. Like, that was my life. That's how I grew up. And then there's other people out there who are experiencing the same thing right now, breaking an 11-year playoff drought. Like, think about that. You would have graduated in seventh grade, through high school, through college, grad school, masters, and then the Phillies are back in the playoffs. Like, that's, I think about people's life progression and what they have gone through between postseason appearances by the Phillies. And that's what I was thinking about last night. And I was also just thinking about how happy I was for the guys in this clubhouse, because I know Reese Hoskins can be a bit of a lightning rod for guys, or for people in this city. But I really like the guy. I like the guy a lot ever since he got called up. And it wasn't just the 18 home runs. That's pretty impressive. But he just had, I thought he had a great attitude. I thought they messed with his swing a bunch of times. I think they messed with his approach a bunch of times. But I think he has done everything this club has asked him to do, including play left field. Let's not forget about that fun time. And I think about guys like Aaron Nola that have definitely been riding highs and lows in his career. And I do think about John Middleton. I know, oh, he's the owner, he's a millionaire. Who could? No, this guy really does want to win. And we'll let you hear from him after the game last night because he was in the clubhouse with the players and he was getting water and champagne sprayed all over him. And I was genuinely happy for this ball club. Jose Alvarado addressed the media. I don't think I've ever heard Jose Alvarado talk. You could just see the glee from everybody on the field. And really, Kyle Schwarber did a phenomenal job of setting the tone with the first pitch home run last night. And then coming back in the eighth inning last night's game and hitting another home run for the Phils. And it was wild how this game played out. Not just the perfect game. I mean, that should just be enough. I mean, perfect game through 6 2/3 for Aaron Nola and how he was pitching in this game. But you had the Brewers who, if they just lost, like the Phillies lose, the Brewers lose, Phillies still make the playoffs. But it always feels better when you win and you make the playoffs. Like you took it, right? Well, last night, the Brewers go out there and they have a bit of a head start of the Phillies. I think they were in the fourth or fifth inning when the Phillies game got underway. And you're watching everything go down last night and they're playing the Arizona Diamondbacks. And the Brewers go down in this game 4-1. Then they force extra innings. They somehow magically storm back to tie the game in the ninth inning, making it more dramatic for the Phillies and Phillies fans. So they storm back at the bottom of the ninth inning to score three runs to tie the game at four. Force extras. Arizona goes up a run in the top of the 10th inning. Brewers come back in the bottom of the 10th inning, score two more runs to win 6-5. So now the fate is still very much in the hands of the Phillies to win this game and take care of business. Nola loses his perfect game bid and is no-hitter, of course, in the 7th inning. They bring in the reliever, Jose Alvarado. By the way, just so we'll say this. I'm watching Nola pitch last night. I'm watching the Sixers preseason game last night. I'm following Monday Night Football. I'm following the Manning cast. It ended up being a really busy night. And one of the things I couldn't get over was that we have seen throughout Aaron Nola's career the life he's had on especially his two-seam fastball that tails in on hitters and tails away from right-handed hitters and tails into left-handed hitters. Tails away from lefties and towards righties. And we've seen magical life on that two-seam fastball. We have seen him throw great breaking pitches. Last night was a whole other level for Aaron Nola. I have never seen Aaron Nola like that. Aaron Nola last night was incredible. And it's crazy to say this, but it's like the life that he had, the movement he had on his pitches, all his pitches last night, but especially his breaking pitches, it was like, yeah, that's about right. Perfect game bid, 6 2/3. Yeah, that's about right. Man, they needed a guy to be a stopper or a guy to be a starter, hopefully, of something good. This is certainly something Aaron Nola was bringing to the table in last night's game. And you at least had the one run of support from Kyle Schwarber in that game last night to ride that high for at least a bit. But then you saw the bats come back around for the Phillies and start to take care of business as they have now won three in a row, by the way, getting to the 3-0 win over the Astros last night, and definitely what it's supposed to be and still going to be a tough series. Stott came up in the eighth inning. He hit a home run, and then, yeah, in the eighth inning, Kyle Schwarber came up with the second home run of the game. So all solo home runs for the Phillies last night, and they did exactly what you wanted them to do. The Brewers put it back on their table and said, all right, well, we're going to win this game, so Phillies, you got to win it if you want the playoffs tonight. And that's exactly what the Phillies did. It's a great feeling. And I know this season didn't get started off on the right foot. There was the labor dispute that still has me very much off-put with the rest of baseball. But no matter what, still a Phillies fan and still very much excited. And I'm going to say this. It played out exactly like I said it would. When the Phillies had Joe Girardi as their manager, I said, I feel like the Phillies have a run in them. I feel like they have a big run in them. I still think they can make the playoffs. I still think they will make the playoffs. Sure enough, I said, but for all that to happen, they're going to have to fire Joe Girardi because there's no way. There's no way. And I know the old MO is, oh, manager, oh, they win you, lose you 7-10 games. They lose you 7 games, 10 games, whatever. They might win you 2. You know, I don't believe in that. And I think Dave Dombrowski said it best when he talked about how a manager is responsible for the overall atmosphere, and to use my own word, vibe of a clubhouse. And that atmosphere and vibe turned around with Rob Thompson. And I give him so much more credit than I think a lot of people are willing to for how he was able to turn this club around. And my argument was he gave the team back to the players. But watching the season play out, I didn't think it was going to play out like this until they moved on from Joe Girardi, and that's exactly what they did. And it ended up being the right move at the right time. And I think Rob Thompson is very much responsible for that turnaround that the Phillies had. 65 and 44. 65 and 44 is incredible. The guy's never been a skipper before. And last night he had the opportunity to address his team while holding up a bottle of champagne with a picture of the Red October Phillies on it, of course. And this is what Rob Thompson told his team.
And I am so proud to be associated with all of you players, our coaches, our support staff, trainers, strength guys. I just can't believe all the things you guys have overcome over the course of the year to get here. We're not done. After Wednesday, we got 13 more wins, and then we're world champions.
13 more wins and we're world champions. I love it. Like, this isn't just about winning it's not over. And I know some people have reservations when they see champagne for their wild card, for a third wild card bid, you know. What are you going to celebrate? You know, they're celebrating the opportunity that they're celebrating the fact that their season's not over, that they've made it to the point. They're not making tee times now, okay? They're not planning their vacations yet. They still got work to do. And yes, is this an accomplishment? The fact that they have extended their season? Yes. They're not making tea. Yes, it's an accomplishment. Do I like the fact that it's a champagne shower and all that stuff? I mean, I don't hate watching it. I love seeing this celebration. I love seeing that jubilation, if you will. But for me, I know a lot of people look at it and go, oh, God, the way you celebrated just in the playoffs, wild card team. Yeah, you know what? It's been a minute since this team being in the playoffs. So by all means, please celebrate. But I'm watching that last night and I can't get it out of my head. The whole idea of get me my bleeping trophy back. And it really started to sink in when John Middleton addressed the team after the game. It's all courtesy of NBC Sports Philadelphia, who, of course, was in the locker room. And John Middleton was coaxed into. I don't think, look, John Middleton is a showman, okay? He's a competitor, and he's a showman, all right? This guy does not shy away from the microphone. He might play the sheepish, the coy, like, oh, I don't want to talk. You guys don't want me to talk? Okay, fine. Like the guy, your friend at the karaoke bar, is just like, no, I can't sing. Okay, strangers in the night. Like that, like he wants the microphone. But he wants to play the humble card. Like John Middleton, I have no doubt in my mind, is a showman. Goes into the clubhouse last night and addressed the team. Here's what John Middleton had to say.
All right. So the first thing, obviously, I want to say is congratulations. Second thing is thank you. You have no idea what this means to this organization, to our fan base, to the city, to the owners, you know, the Bucks and the Middletons. So you guys have been fabulous. Psychological studies have shown that the most important attribute that successful people have is persistence, and you guys have persisted all year. You know, we lost our second baseman for months, lost the MVP for months. We had back end of our bullpen was shot at times from injuries, and you kept going, and you actually got better when people got injured. So you guys really deserve this. Last two things. Enjoy it. You know, this doesn't come around all the time. I want to get used to this like we were in 07 and through 11, but enjoy it. This is special. Enjoy each other. You know, 50 years later, I love watching the 80 team come back and celebrate.
That's so cool.
Yeah, okay. Thanks very much. I think somebody told me that was Kyle Schwarber's wife that came in and dumped water on John Middleton's head, which is just hilarious. But it was like, all right, John, all right, the red light. You know what they did with the dumping the water bottle on John Middleton's head? It was the Oscars music. It was the okay, your speech is over. Let's keep going with the party. I don't think it was by any means boring, but I believe the line from Jack Black was, "You're boring." If you remember the Oscars bit where they gave lyrics to the song that they play people off to. But anyway, watching that celebration last night was wild. And watching Aaron Nola smile, I was like, he can do that? That's incredible. But the thing that got me, the thing that really got me, oh, I'm sorry, I wanted to wrap up this point on John Middleton. The thing that I was thinking about last night, especially when he was saying all that he was saying in the locker room, in the clubhouse, was I want my bleeping trophy back. And I know John Middleton might play it off, but again, he's a showman, but he might play it off like, ah, I didn't want that story out there. Well, then our friend Mike Sielski put the story out there many years ago. I want my bleeping trophy back. In case you don't know it, 2009, Phillies lose to the Yankees. Ryan Howard still at his locker at Yankee Stadium, and he's just kind of got his head down. And John Middleton's still in the clubhouse, and he walks up behind Ryan Howard, puts his hand on his shoulder, and he says, I want my bleeping trophy back. And then he leaves. Phillies don't return to the World Series the next year. They certainly don't return the following year, and then they miss the playoffs for the next 11 years, or between playoff appearances, I should say, the next decade. John Middleton, in that moment, I think, in the midst of the losing and not making it back and the turnover of Ryan Howard and Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins, and then later having to trade Cole Hamels, and then you just didn't have that team together anymore. Shane Victorino getting traded. Chooch, same thing. Like, you watch all this unfold, and through that, John Middleton decided it's time for us to take control, meaning Middleton and the Buck Cousins. And now, finally, they're back at least to have a shot at a long playoff appearance, a long playoff run. And that's what was going through my mind last night. And then it ended with just get him his bleeping trophy back. And then we'll see where it goes from there. The big thing that stuck out to me, because we really don't see emotion from Rhys Hoskins much, good or bad. I think he's done it's weird. I think ever since Rob Thompson got here, you've started to see a little bit more emotion from Rhys Hoskins, whether that be slamming his helmet down because he grounded out, he rolled over on an inside fastball, or he just missed a pitch that should have wound up in the bleachers. Whatever it might be, you just see him showing some emotion, tipping his hat to a teammate that just made a hell of a play before they threw him the ball at first base for the out. You see a little bit more emotion from Rhys Hoskins. And last night you saw a lot of emotion. And he was being interviewed on the field after the game, and you could hear it in his voice. For the people on the podcast, you'll be able to picture it just fine.
Finally get a chance to play postseason baseball.
Yeah, I mean, this is why we play. It's why we play. A lot of blood, a lot of sweat, a lot of tears. It's a great group, guys. It's a great group. I'm just excited. I don't even know what to say. What a group of guys. What a group of coaches. All of the staff. The whole traveling party, all of the media guys, it's a group effort. Without anybody that's here right now, we don't get here. So it's a beautiful thing.
It's been a long...
The traveling party got a shout out. I was praising Miles Sanders yesterday for shouting out Jeff Stoutland. I kind of get that. The traveling party gets a shout out. Does that mean the caravan? Does that mean Phillies fans that were down there? Because Phillies fans were all over the place. Phillies fans were in Houston last night. Phillies fans were, of course, were in Philadelphia. And then Philly fans were also in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center last night, booing Ben Simmons at the free throw line. Which, by the way, that reminds me, I got to check my poll to see how the poll I put out on Twitter last night, just see how that's doing. I'll update you guys on it in a second. But congratulations to the Phillies. I am absolutely 1,000% blown away with what they were able to do by making the playoffs with Rob Thompson as their skipper. And now they face, it looks like they're going to face the St. Louis Cardinals. Oh, boy. Should be interesting. Ari, my man, you know I'm thinking of you. So that's where the Phillies are at. Pretty awesome to watch that celebration last night, and fantastic to watch Aaron Nola's start for 6 2/3 before he ended up giving up back-to-back singles and then getting pulled. But the Phillies win the game 3-0, make it into the playoffs to break the longest playoff drought in the National League. Feels good to say that. Meanwhile, in football, everyone's injured. That's what it's like right now. Yesterday, there was one thing. Now, Nick Sirianni addressed the media, and during his press conference, talked about how he is optimistic, I believe was the word he used, they think everyone has a chance to play this weekend against Zach Ertz and the St. Louis, or the St. Louis, geez. Zach, still thinking baseball, against the Arizona Cardinals. That is where we are at right now with the Eagles and their injuries. Isaac Seumalo, I will be shocked. I will be shocked if he plays on Sunday. That did not look like a walk-it-off injury. I do not expect Isaac Seumalo out there. I'm going to go and tell you this. I'm not a doctor. Let me cover that. I am not a doctor. But that didn't look good. If he plays, I will be shocked. They also signed a guard, Tyrese Robinson. So that's just more of an inclination or more of a hint that Isaac Seumalo will not be ready to go. Jack Driscoll, who I thought filled in very well for Jordan Mailata, if he can't go, I have a lot of confidence in Jordan and in Jack Driscoll filling in on that offensive line. So we'll see how some of these guys go. Also, Sua Peta, I thought, again, just played a great game, always filling in. It was a great quarter and a half for Isaac Seumalo. So if he gets the opportunity to start, love to see it, and I have a lot of confidence in him. But not a lot of injury updates last night. But here's the one thing that did happen. I don't really watch the Manning cast often, but I saw that Jalen Hurts was going to be on the Manning cast. And I was like, let me hear what Jalen Hurts has to say. And it wasn't much. And that's fine. I'm not looking for him to pipe out the hot takes or anything like that. I'm not looking for him to say, well, yeah, but we're 4-0, so that means we're going to win the Super Bowl. Thanks for having me on there, Peyton and Eli. No. But I thought the thing that was the loudest, the best thing about what happened during that Manning cast was the sweatshirt he was wearing, which said something, and I'm something along the lines of, God bless all the people hating on me. And I thought, that kind of sums up his MO. That kind of sums up who he is. When we've been talking about trades, we've been talking about whether or not he's not good enough, whether or not he's the offseason works going to pay off, and people are like, no, he sucks. The Eagles don't have a quarterback. They need to draft a quarterback. They need to trade for a quarterback, whatever. Well, okay. His team's 4-0. And he's the offensive player of the month to start the season out. That's pretty damn good. I'm going to ride with Jalen Hurts for a while here. And as I said before the season, and so far he's proving me right, this is a guy that is not just going to be the starting quarterback for the Eagles this year, but also the foreseeable future. I do think he is going to get a contract offer, maybe not in the middle of this year, maybe at the end of this year, maybe leading into next year, maybe when the new league year starts in March, that's when he'll get a new contract. But I do believe that he is going to be playing himself into a rather large contract that will make him the franchise quarterback here in Philadelphia. And I love his attitude. No, God bless the haters. Like, he didn't hold it against them. That's how they think. Good for them. See you later. They're entitled to their opinion. Now I'm going to go out there and show everyone how good I can be. I love that mindset. Like, I don't know if he uses it as motivation or if he just says, oh, that's how they feel. Well, that's dumb because I'm pretty great and I could be even better. If that's his mindset, I admire that mindset. The hell, hey, I'm not even, whatever. God bless him. Yeah, hey, good, you know, have a happy life. Nothing but blessings upon you. I'll be over here balling out. Love that. But by the way, do you watch the Manning cast? I do want to know from people, if you watch the Manning cast regularly, is that generally how their interviews go? Because the only time I really ever catch the Manning cast, like, I like watching the game. I don't like somebody constantly in my ear. Like, I find it hard enough to ignore announcers most of the time. Like, I think in my mind, announcers are there to be ignored and give you, like, maybe little information here and there about what's going on in the game, sideline reports, who's injured, how long they're going to be out, what the coach said about that guy, whatever it might be. Like, that's where I'll tune into an announcer. Like, wait, hold on. Well, what are they saying about it? But when the announcers are there to be listened to, like even more so than a regular announcer is, like Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, who are essentially hosting a show during a game, it's so distracting. I just want to watch the game. But because they had Jalen Hurts on, I watched my first Manning cast interview in its entirety. And they had Jalen Hurts in there in the second quarter. And it was a bunch of three and outs, and Eli even made a joke about it, how, hey, sorry, we have to keep going to commercial. But they did. So Jalen Hurts is being interviewed, and it was like, you could barely hear him. I don't think he understood some of the questions. They were cracking jokes that weren't that funny. And I'm like, is this? And then you got to wait for the other person to laugh. It was very confusing. It was just a bad interview. But the best part about it was Jalen Hurts' hoodie. Good for him. God bless all the people hating on me. All right, cool. If you watch the Manning Cast on the reg, is that what they do? Is that kind of how the interviews go? Because I just don't get it. In retrospect, going back and watching some of the Jacksonville Jaguars game over again last night, I continue to be impressed with just how good a game Jalen Hurts did have. And passing-wise, stat-wise, and I always tell you, numbers never lie, but they sure as hell deceive. Stat-wise, it doesn't jump out to you. But when you think about the fact that he had 200 yards passing in that weather, and that was on top of Miles Sanders dominating on the ground, the more I think about it, just the more impressed I am with Jalen Hurts' performance in that game. 16 of 25 were his completions. Through the one interception, which I do say was the worst throw we have seen from Jalen Hurts through four games. And that's why I said yesterday on Fox as well. He threw it late, and he threw into double coverage. Rain isn't making you throw it late, and rain is not making you throw into double coverage, okay? And that would have been a very tight window throw. If you would have made it, it would have been miraculous. That wasn't the play to be made on that particular play. But overall, 16 to 25, 204 yards, the one interception, obviously, and then it was able to do on the ground, running for 38 yards on 16 carries as well. It is pretty impressive. He was also sacked twice in the game, posted a passer rating of just 72.8. So again, stat-wise, you look at the number and you go, well, it's not that great. It was pretty great, especially when you got into the red zone. And that's where I think he's the most dangerous. And that's where I think he's more dangerous even than a guy like Kyler Murray. Because I think Kyler Murray can sling it. I think Kyler Murray can buy time. And I think he can certainly take off and run for the touchdown. But I think Jalen Hurts, because of his size, gives you that extra added push in the middle. If you're in a fourth and goal from the one scenario, he gives you that one extra play that I don't think Kyler Murray gives you. So when you're talking about red zone, when you're talking about that short yardage and goal situation, that's where I really rather watch Jalen Hurts over a guy like Kyler Murray. And this is a big game. No doubt they're all big. But a lot of people, especially because of the contract situation with Kyler Murray, are going to be looking at this as a measuring stick possibly for just Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts has played in Arizona before. He's played in that stadium before. They lost. He had a slow start to that game before, the way I remember it, coming back and rallying 2 years ago when he was taken over for Carson Wentz. And this is going to be a good opportunity for him to be right there, side by side, comparable with a guy that just got a big contract in the NFL when Jalen Hurts is looking to get himself a fine contract as well. You really can't have a better start to the season than Jalen Hurts is having right now. Last undefeated team standing in the NFL, and on top of that, already the offensive player of the month. Not too shabby. That's a good way to start things off. And by the way, I was being a little facetious on the pregame show with my man Seth Joyner. And he was like, oh, come on, Farzi, it's been more than a fine start. Well, yeah, but you want me to start the MVP conversation right now? Because that'll get the clicks. But, like, I'm watching Jalen Hurts play the way he's been playing. We're all watching it, and we're all, I think, if we're not amazed by it, we should be. And you also talk about strength of schedule, whatever. You play who's on the schedule. Jalen Hurts has played the people on the schedule very well. And he's played them better than anybody else has played in the NFL so far. And that's pretty impressive. So I'm looking forward to this Arizona Cardinals game and seeing how he fares in this one. And I'm hoping that they have at least somewhat of a healthy offensive line going into it, especially with Jordan Mailata hopefully coming back MRI today. And then tomorrow, Wednesday, Nick Sirianni will be giving the updates. And then hopefully we'll also hear from hopefully other reports will come out. Hopefully some other reports will come out even before then to give us a heads up on what's going to be going down with some of these Eagles players and what we can expect from them going forward. The Sixers tipped off last night, their preseason. Joel Embiid and James Harden did not play at the Barclays Center last night against the Brooklyn Nets. But guess who did? Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons played a basketball game. After a year away because, what was that story? God, did we talk about why he was out at all over the last year? Oh, we did? Yeah, okay. Mental health reasons and a back issue. Ben Simmons came out and he played for the Nets last night. He had 6 points. Hooray. He missed some free throws. Sixers fans in the building cheered the fact that he missed those free throws. I enjoyed the fact that he missed those free throws. He tried a turnaround jumper on George Niang from just inside the foul line. Clank. Ew, was it even a clank or was it more of a thud? Because a clank is off the rim. That would imply that he hit the rim. A thud is that just he hit it off the glass. Either way, he missed it. I am rooting for Ben Simmons to be terrible. I'm just going to say it. Like, I know that sounds classless, but I just can't. I can't. All right, he's not here anymore. I wish him well. No, I can't. I can't do that. And I'll tell you the selfish reason why. I don't want to hear it from other people that, oh, look at your head in Philly. Look how great he is. Well, yeah, you know why he's if he does turn out to be great, if he does develop his offensive game, if he does develop, I should say, his scoring, to be more specific, to the point where he has the mid-range game, to the point where he has an occasional three-pointer. Maybe once a week he pops a three, right? I still don't think it's happening, especially playing the center position. He's bringing the ball up if he gets a rebound, which is fine. But I don't look at Ben Simmons and go, ah, he's gone, I wish him well. I can't do that because if he does develop his game, then it's going to be a lot of mud thrown in the direction of Philadelphia, which will be unjust. It'll be dumb, but it'll be there, and it'll just be annoyance. It won't make me angry, but it'll annoy the hell out of me. When people will say, oh, you could have had him in Philly, but you guys are toxic. 2 seconds after he got to Brooklyn, two of your stars wanted out. You tell me the most toxic situation. Reports were out there about your biggest star, Kevin Durant, wanting your coach gone, wanting Kyrie Irving gone, or he wanted to be gone. Oh, and your general manager, too. Throw him into the mix. Ooh. Good Lord. But yeah, I can't root for him to improve. I can't root for him to be better than what he was here in Philadelphia. And we'll see if he is. I just don't see it happening. But when he missed those free throws and I heard the ovation from the Sixers fans in the building, I lost it. I was dying. So I asked the question last night on social media about Ben Simmons and as well as the Phillies and the Sixers as well. And the question that I asked last night was, I think, a rather simple one. What was the best part of your night as a Philadelphia sports fan? Phillies make the playoffs. Tyrese Maxey dropping 20 points last night. Or just thinking about the Eagles being 4-0. Oh, and booing Ben Simmons' free throws. What were the best of those four? What was your favorite moment from last night? And rightfully so, 84% voted for the Phillies making the playoffs. Ben Simmons came in third. Watching Ben Simmons miss free throws was more enjoyable for people than watching Tyrese Maxey drop 20 points. Now that is spite, ladies and gentlemen, and nobody does spite quite like us in Philadelphia. Especially when it's directed to Ben Simmons. So there you go. The best part of last night for me, no question, was watching the Phillies. Not only making the playoffs, not only watching Aaron Nola pitch the way he did last night in a time they needed him to pitch. Not only was it that, not only was it Kyle Schwarber coming up with home runs when the Phillies needed him to come up with home runs yet again. Bryson Stott coming up with another home run as well. Not only was it that. It was a celebration in the locker room, in the clubhouse, watching these guys say, oh, look at us. We're going to the playoffs. How about that? It's a third wild card team. Phillies would not have clinched the playoffs right now had they not had the expansion, which sucks, but it's, hey, playoffs is the playoffs. I'll take it. I've been telling you guys this whole time I wanted them to make the playoffs. Well, why? They're just going to get swept out. I don't care. Give me postseason baseball. Give me the ear flap hats. Give me the long sleeves. Give me the turtlenecks. I want playoff baseball back at Citizens Bank Park. And that's what we got. We got that against the St. Louis Cardinals as things are all falling into place for the Phillies, hopefully. So that's where we're at. October baseball, Phillies baseball. It's exciting. It's exciting. Let me swing back to basketball real quick. Because I didn't touch on this stuff. Tobias Harris did play last night. Isaiah Joe did play last night. And again, Tyrese Maxey did play last night. I understand he's not playing with James Harden and Joel Embiid. But here's what I really enjoyed about Tyrese Maxey last night. It reminded me of that stretch of last year where Joel Embiid missed, what, 9 games with COVID? And Tyrese Maxey came in and came into his own. And Tyrese Maxey, when he came into his own, you saw this type of player that John Calipari had kind of told us about here in Philadelphia about how lucky we were to have this guy. And you saw him take over the team. And guys that are second year in the league, you're not doing that unless you're like a number one, number two, number three overall pick. And that's what people are expecting you from jump. But really, after all the Ben Simmons drama, I think that kind of lowered the bar for Tyrese Maxey for us. Nothing to do with Tyrese Maxey. But just in terms of Ben's not here, Ben's choosing not to play, he's our point guard, and now this Tyrese Maxey kid's coming in here to run things. Oh, wow, he's pretty good. And we had a little sampler of Tyrese Maxey in the playoffs last year where he came in against the Hawks and played like a guy who was a 10-year veteran. And we're like, oh, well, this is what you can get from this kid. All right. And then he comes in during that stretch without Joel Embiid last year. And, man, yeah, the bar might have been set low, but he raised it quickly with how good a player he can be. And last night, watching him kind of run the show for the Sixers, even though Tobias Harris was out there, I was just enjoying it. And you could see he had some more confidence in his step-back jumper. He has got the same amount of confidence when it comes to taking it to the hoop strong. He's got the same amount of confidence when it comes to all things like that. And it was just good to see it again. That's it. It's a preseason game, 20 points, way to lead the team. That was awesome. Hit a couple of threes for you. Had a variety of scoring chances that he was able to convert with. And I was happy with it. Simple as that. Preseason game number one, under the belt. Happy to see it. Good to see it. Fun to see it. Ben Simmons misses free throws. Good times. Let me tell you guys about Stephen Singer. Before I get into the chat check here, let me tell you guys about Stephen Singer of Stephen Singer Jewelers, the other corner of 8th and Walnut, right in Philadelphia, right on Jewelers Row. Stephen offers the perfect price to all his customers. That's right. To all his customers, the perfect price each and every day. So when it comes to that perfect piece of jewelry that you want to buy, how about getting it at the perfect price for that perfect someone that perfectly fits into your life? Stephen Singer Jewelers gives you the perfect price. You don't have to worry about negotiating. You don't have to worry about haggling. You can just go in there and concentrate on what type of diamond you want to buy, whether it's a diamond ring, whether it's a diamond tennis bracelet, whether it's a diamond necklace, diamond earrings, whatever they may be. Stephen Singer Jewelers, one place, one price, the perfect price each and every day. Online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Always fast and free shipping at IHateStevenSinger.com. Let me tell you about the amazing people of Manscaped and their Platinum Package 4.0. Because, fellas, you want to look good everywhere, right? Well, that's where the Platinum Package 4.0 comes in. It's the one-stop shop you'll need. It includes a lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, and it all comes with skin-safe technology that helps reduce the risk of nicks so you can manscape with confidence and comfort. It also comes with the Ultra Premium Body Wash, 2-in-1 shampoo, conditioner, deodorant, Crop Preserver Anti-Chafing Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Ball Spray Toner, anti-chafing boxers, and the Shed travel bag that'll hold all the goods that you'll be using to take care of your goods with Manscaped. Manscaped's the leader in below-the-waist grooming, and right now, you can trust them with the whole shebang when you go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping when you use promo code Farzy. That's pretty special. Promo code Farzy for 20% off at manscaped.com and free shipping. Not too shabby. Let me tell you about Freestone Farm CBD, freestonefarmcbd.com. If you like CBD, if you use CBD, you want to try a different CBD? How about Freestone Farm CBD? freestonefarmcbd.com. Use promo code Farzy for 20% off. You'll love their insane tropical tasting Bayox that clocks in at a chart-topping 24.1% and Super CBD, which is half, what is it half? It's half Hindu something. It's half Hindu Kush. And 21%. Genetics of these guys are off the charts, so you're going to have to just embrace it and love it. Freestone Farm CBD is perfect for someone looking to relax after a workout, looking to relax before they go to sleep. Freestone Farm CBD, use promo code Farzy for 20% off. You've heard me talking about mojo. We had Jim Cramer on last week. Fellow sleeve roller Jim Cramer was on the show last week. And you know what? He liked a mojo. He liked the mojo. He liked the idea of players being stocks, rising and falling throughout the season. Mojo is a great app available in New Jersey right now. It currently offers the NFL with over 300 skilled players across quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers and tight ends. And each athlete's stock on Mojo has a share price that rises and falls in real time. It's based on on-field performance, news, and anything that could affect the way the player is expected to play. Mojo, as published guaranteed payoff formula, is based on objective stats, so you always know exactly what the stock is worth. Think of it like an underrated rookie that's out there right now. I mentioned Kenny Pickett. Threw a couple of picks, did Kenny Pickett, in his first game. But he's in there now. He's playing. I'm going to go ahead and assume he's going to start on this weekend. But Kenny Pickett might be a nice pickup for some people. Buy low, sell high, just like your stocks. Mojo is available in New Jersey on iOS. And just by downloading the app, you have a chance to win $10,000 in free shares of player stock. Click the link in the description for a chance to win up to $10,000 in free shares of player stock. Must be 21 or older, physically located in New Jersey to trade on Mojo. Have a gambling problem? Help is available at 1-800-GAMBLER. How about PHL Sports Nation, Philadelphia Sports Nation, enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience across all social media and blogs. It's PHLSportsNation.com. We are doing a chat check today. Despite the fact that on YouTube, by the way, for the people watching and commenting on YouTube, God bless you, because it's just a hold screen, basically, that's up there right now. It's not even like my beautiful face, my devastatingly handsome, ruggedly handsome face donning your computer screen today or your phone. It's not. You know what it is? It says the Farzy Show. That's what it says. And we still have our Twitch icon on there, which is good, because you know what? We can't forget about Twitch. But here we go. Let's get into our chat check today, ladies and gentlemen. See how everybody is doing on this fine morning. Kevin! Good morning, Kevin. Philadelphia Phillies are going to the playoffs. You damn right. T-Bro, it's finally Red October. It absolutely is Red October. So that is exciting. I am excited. Mally? Blue City Empire Sports. Congratulations to the Philadelphia Phillies. Well, thank you, Blue City Empire Sports. By the way, Blue City Empire Sports. That sounds like a play it again sports. Like, it sounds like if you bring out your old equipment, we'll give you $5 for your skates that you paid $150 for. You know, it sounds like a used sporting goods store. But Blue City, all are welcome to this table of plenty, my friend. Welcome in. Thank you for the congratulations. As a New York Yankees fan, I really do not hate the Phillies because they are not in my division. All right. That not even in your league. Quite metaphorically, quite literally. Here's my question. Kyle Schwarber, what is he up to? 45 home runs now? What does Schwarbs get up to last night? 46 home runs? Schwarbs got up to 46 home runs last night. Let's just say that. Pretty sure that's what we got to. So are we now going to have Schwarber cut-ins? How many more home runs before we're cutting Kyle Schwarber into every single sporting event or conversation on ESPN? Just how many? How many more home runs does Kyle Schwarber need to hit in the next 2 days? That's my question. And I feel like it's a legitimate question. Yeah, 46 dingers from Kyle Schwarber. Because I feel like we're basically cutting in to watch Aaron Judge sleep now. Mihai Sanchez. Hi, Mark. Everyone, ring that bell. I say too many harsh comments about the Phillies because I want moments like these. I was 13 in eighth grade back in 2011. See what I'm saying? Mihai, you see what I'm saying? In 2011, you're in eighth grade. You're in eighth grade. And you know what you need? You need this team to make the playoffs. And what do? They abandoned you through high school, through college. And now you're out in the working world. And now they're back. And now they're back for you. Ooh, Blue City Empire Sports. I have a question. What is the best championship parade? 2008 Phillies or 2017 Eagles? Believe it or not, this is a tough call for me because you guys know that I've always been a bigger Phillies guy than an Eagles guy in terms of just fandom. This business kind of makes you be a bigger Eagles guy. But there's so many, there's two huge factors that go into both. I had never experienced a parade, and the Phillies gave me that. I had no reference for what something was supposed to be like. It was down, it was across Market, down Broad Street. That was incredible. The Eagles flooded the Art Museum area. Jason Kelce's incredible speech. Football is king. But I got to go with the Phillies. If I had to choose which was my favorite child, well, I love them both. But if I got Sophie's Choice over here, I got to go Phillies Parade. Because I had never seen that before. I had no frame of reference. The Eagles was a different animal, man, in terms of now they say, crowd experts say that there are more people at the Phillies parade, which I don't think that's true. But there are supposed to be even more people because the trains weren't running on time. Do not be a jackass. I remember that with Michael Nutter saying that in 2008. Wow. That's pretty amazing. I got to go Phillies. For me, I would say the Phillies. I would say I am with maybe 10% of the fan base. 90% of the fan base would say the Eagles parade. I know I'm in the minority. See that, Mihai? Mark, I'm just like you, 24 now. Well, I'm not 24, but 2 years out of college, into my full-time career. I hope this is the start of a decade's worth of the playoffs, especially with now six teams in each league. I hope so, too. Keep on bringing it. Yeah. Jim saying 2017 was the better parade. I'm not going to fault it. And I was at both. I was working for WIP at the time. I was stationed right in front of the Art Museum steps. And when Kelce started cursing, let me backtrack 9 years to Chase Utley's World Bleeping Champions. There was a whole lot of stuff that went on behind the scenes about that F-bomb making it out over the airwaves. Like, people were in trouble. People were in trouble over that. So I remember being in front of the Art Museum, and I'm kind of doing the play-by-play of it. And I'm like, all right, Jason Kelce in his mummer's outfit is now walking up to the podium to address the crowd. Philadelphia! I'm like, all right, here we go. I'm quiet. I don't believe in talking over anybody. Play-by-play. You never talk over a play-by-play guy in a big moment. He was the big moment. I didn't want to talk over him. He starts dropping F-bombs. And I'm talking to the producer back in the studio. I'm like, do we dump that? What's going on here? I don't think we dumped it. But yeah, it was just a moment of, are we doing a Chase Utley again? Blue Mihai Sanchez, Blue Empire, what's going on? Nice to see you. Awesome. World Bleeping Chitty, bro. I mean, put it this way. If you're comparing Jason Kelce, T-Bro, versus Chase Utley, if that's the question, nothing beats Jason Kelce. Nothing will ever beat Jason Kelce. I don't care if Bryce Harper carries this team to the World Series and hits 15 home runs in a World Series and then dresses up as Rocky and eats a cheesesteak while running up the steps, coming up with his own "no one likes his, we don't care" mantra. Nothing will top Jason Kelce in a mummer's outfit, calling out every doubter, every hater on the Art Museum steps as the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And as I just had this conversation with some Patriots fans I recently met in Philadelphia at a bar, who they were at the draft in Philly. And I brought it to their attention, something that we know all too well here in Philadelphia. The 2017 season began and ended on the Art Museum steps. The draft and then the parade. Start to finish. Thanks to everybody in the chat. You guys are great as per usual. Mihai, it's not September anymore. You're damn right it's not September anymore. As a matter of fact, let me just go back real quick. Because the Phillies finished September yet again under 500. I believe they were 10-14. Bap, bap, boop, beep, boop, bap. Let's see here. Phillies are undefeated in October. They are undefeated. Oh, no, they lost the. That's right, because they had the doubleheader. Never mind. They're not undefeated in October. Womp, womp. Yep. They're 3-1 in October. So maybe October is their month. Philly, let's wrap up the chat check. Thanks, everyone in the chat check. Appreciate you guys, especially sticking with a show today that has no visual on a visual platform. Let's get into our morning rush brought to you by Sky Motorcars, skymotorcars.com. The Brewers tonight, who cares? They're eliminated. Nobody cares. Houston Astros, Phillies back underway tonight. 8:10 start time. Rangers Suarez gets the start against Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander, as you would assume, having himself a nice year and a career for that part. 17-4 on the season with a 1.80 ERA is the 39-year-old Justin Verlander. Two things I want to get in the chat check here. Speaking of older pitchers, there's a Nolan Ryan documentary on Netflix right now called Facing Nolan. I believe that's what it's called. And I just started it. And it's like an hour and a half. I've watched like the first 20 minutes of it. It's pretty awesome. I mean, my era, Nolan Ryan was the greatest pitcher ever. Like when I was a kid and idolizing baseball, that's Nolan Ryan meant everything to a starting rotation. And I admired the hell out of him. And watching this documentary has kind of put me back in as a kid. Like, wow, it's old. It's like watching somebody who wasn't a Philadelphia athlete. It's like watching Ken Griffey Jr. swing a bat. It's like watching Nolan Ryan throw a fastball or just pitch in general. It makes you feel like a kid again. And it's got one of those effects. And that series is pretty amazing. There's something else on Netflix, and everybody's talking about it. And it's the Dahmer series, man. I binged it. I watched it all in a week. I am not drastically into true crime. I'm not someone that's always like watching the next documentary on true crime or anything like that. I'm not interested. I don't really care that much. But the Dahmer thing, all that stuff went down when I was like 9 years old. And I remember my mom listening to the radio, news radio. I remember my parents watching the news. And I remember the stories. And I remember the shots of inside the courtroom. And I remember the story. I remember all the gruesomeness of the story. But I never really dove into it because I just thought it was sick and gross and horrible. And I obviously feel terrible for the families of the victims. It's all, oh my goodness. But I was very curious because like I'm always interested in going back and trying to learn more about things that happened while I was young. And I had a perspective of a youth, of a kid, while I was going through, but what would be my perspective as an adult? So I watched the Dahmer series. And I think Evan Peters is a great actor. I was a big American Horror Story guy, watched all those, and I think he's a great actor. And I'll just say this. I had never seen the inside of Jeffrey Dahmer's apartment, but I remember listening to the radio with my mom on like the way back from school, and they're talking about the Dahmer case as it's like real in 1991, as it's actually happening. And I remember like picturing this real skeezy looking apartment, and man, that's exactly what it was. And then I have seen pictures, cause it's like all over social media of the, you know, this Dahmer craze. And I saw one person I've seen pictures of it, and yeah, it's the actual apartment. They basically set it up exactly like it. But I will say this, if you haven't watched it, like my wife won't watch it because she just can't deal with anything gruesome. There's horribly gruesome things in it, but I will say this, and I don't think it's a spoiler. So if you think it's a spoiler, just turn me off right now, but I'll tell you this. From what I remember, from the 10 episodes, I was worried there was going to be like horrific violence of people being like beaten up and assaulted and all that stuff. It doesn't happen while they're alive. Let's just put it that way. They do show you some pretty graphic stuff after the fact. I'm not going to lie to you. But I'm glad they did it the way they did it, because they didn't make it into a fantasy. They didn't make it into a horror movie. I think they did a good job of depicting what happened without having to go into the actual scene by scene graphicness or description of everything, you know, that happened. I think they left enough to the imagination that was, I thought in my mind as a complete outsider, respectful. And I think it was very well done. And I think the acting in it is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And I think they did a good job of telling the story. And now going back and reading some things about it from the actual accounts, not from critics or the show itself. But if you are into true crime, if you are curious, I think it's a very well done 10-episode series if you haven't seen it yet. So that's my two cents. I know everybody's talking about it, so I wanted to make sure I chimed in on it as well. And now I'm good on true crime for probably 10 years. I think that'll be my true crime quota for the next 10 years. Thanks for watching. Thanks for being on YouTube as I was talking. Thanks to everyone that listened on the podcast. You guys are great, especially today. You guys are great. The people that watched on YouTube, you guys are fantastic, even more so for today. Appreciate it. Jim Heider produced the program, did a wonderful job. This is, by the way, I think we just need a new HDMI cord. I think that's what we determined, and that's on my end. So go figure. That's on my end. Jim Heider produced the program, did a great job. This is a Buzz Sports Entertainment production. My name is Mark Farzetta. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow, hopefully with audio. Or excuse me, hopefully with visual to the audio. Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow. See ya.